We've been singing about how that God leads us, and our life as a Christian is similar to what God did with the Israelites in leading them through the wilderness into the land of promise. This morning we want to consider the way that God led them. The scripture says that He led Israel by the right way, and we want to talk about that this morning. When you consider the life of the Christian, there are different parallels. There are several parallels between us today and the life of the Israelites. The Israelites began their life in bondage in Egypt. They were in bondage. They had a taskmaster over them. We are in sin. We're in bondage to sin, Jesus talks about in John chapter 8. The Israelites left Egypt and they crossed through the Red Sea. The part of their life where they left that old life behind was going through the waters of the Red Sea. So when we find ourselves in a life of sin, in bondage to sin, we need to pass through the waters of baptism. Paul says in Romans chapter 6 that that's the point at which we leave behind that old life. And Israel never went back to Egypt. They crossed through that Red Sea and they never went back. And so we pass through the waters of baptism, and Paul says that that old man is left behind. When they came out on the other side of the Red Sea, they began to wander through the wilderness. And our life as a Christian is like wandering through the wilderness. There are places in the New Testament, for example, in 1 Corinthians 10, where Paul talks about how that we're not to engage in certain kinds of sins. And Paul lists five examples there in 1 Corinthians 10 of the wilderness wandering. They all come from the wilderness wandering. Don't be idolaters. Don't murmur, you see. Don't make trial of the Lord, those types of things. And then he says, be careful, take heed lest you fall. So our life as a Christian is like the Israelites as they were going through the wilderness, and we have to abstain from those types of sins and temptations. And then we find that Israel crossed over the Jordan into their land of promise. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 4, I ask Eric if you would read Hebrews 4, that we have our rest land that awaits us in heaven. In fact, we just sang in our song, the song right before the lesson, the idea of crossing over Jordan as we pass through death and cross over Jordan. The old Negro spirituals, there were several that mentioned crossing over Jordan. It was symbolic of dying and then going into heaven. And so there are a number of parallels that we have between Israel and our life today. And so I want us to think about the part that we're in right now. We're not in the bondage part. We've passed from the baptism part, but we're not yet crossing over Jordan. We're not yet going into that land of rest. Where are we? We're in that wilderness wandering. We're in that part where we're sojourning and pilgrims and sojourners. And the question for us this morning in our life today is, are we willing to let God lead us? We just sang two songs. I appreciate Shannon singing those songs. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. And lead me through this barren land. Do we really, on a daily basis, do we really appreciate that? I think all of us would appreciate the concept of, yes, I want God to lead me. But on a daily, personal basis, is that what happens? Or from time to time, do we want to take the lead? Do we want to be the leader? Do we want to go out? Well, I want to go out and commit this sin, so I just go out and do that. God's not leading me into that, but I take the lead, you see. We're finding changes in the Lord's church. People are bringing in things that are unauthorized. And we're hearing about in Nashville, the Church of Christ there in 4th Avenue, adding a women minister, a women preacher, and instrumental music. We're taking the lead. We're doing things that we want. We don't have Bible authority for that, but we're going to do that anyway. We sing the songs, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, but do we really practice that on a daily and personal and practical way? So I want us to think about God leading us. Do we want to lead or do we want to be led? Is really what it boils down to each day. In our marriage, in our family, in our personal Christian life. Do we want to be led or do we want to take the lead? And so that's the challenge for us each day. And when we read about the wilderness wanderings there, you read about the book of Numbers especially, where God's people are going through. There were times when they were fine being led, but then there were times when they wanted to rebel and they wanted to do their own thing. And I believe that is a struggle and a challenge for all of us each day. We have to be led by God. But if you'll turn with me to Psalm 107, I want us to take as our text of Scripture one of the Psalms. If you consider the wilderness wandering, and then you come forward in time about 450 years, about 450 years after the wilderness wandering, in the time of David, there are actually some Psalms that are written after the fact that go back and talk about the wilderness wandering. And there are three right together. If you take your Bible sometime and read Psalm 105, 106, and portions of 107, what you're reading about is God guiding Israel through the wilderness. And there are a number of those verses there, 105, 106, and 107, that talk about how that there were times when Israel didn't want to be led. They wanted to rebel and do their own thing. But God was always loving and kind, and His loving kindness is shown in leading them even in their rebellion and stubbornness. One that I want to look at this morning is Psalm 107. So if you'll turn with me there, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. And we want to pay attention to a statement in verse 7 where the text says that God led Israel by the right way. The King James says He led them forth by the right way. Your version might say the straight way. And I want us to consider that this morning for our admonition. Are we letting God lead us by the right way? Psalm 107, verse 1, O give thanks unto Jehovah, for He is good, for His loving kindness endureth forever. Let the redeemed of Jehovah say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert way. They found no city of habitation, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto Jehovah in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. I want us to consider, especially this morning, verse 7, how that God led Israel by the right way. And He led them to go into a city of habitation. That land of Canaan where they could have a land flowing with milk and honey and they could have a good life. Psalm 107 speaks of God leading Israel to her rest land. And the journey was called in verse 7, the right way. It's the right way. And God is always going to lead us by that right way. The word that is used here is the Hebrew word yashar. It's used three times in the Old Testament, and it means a way that is straight and level. That's the only way God is going to take us. Now, that doesn't mean straight in the strictest sense of a straight line from point A to point B. If you look on the map, and you look at the journey of Israel from Egypt to the land of Canaan, they went many different ways. There were turns and twists and turns and different ways that they had to go. But it was the right way. Whatever way it was the right way. And so the word here becomes to mean the idea of the right and good way, the proper way, the way that God wants us to go. There may be left turns and right turns, but it's going to be the right way to go. In Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21, Ezra prayed on his way back from the Babylonian captivity. He had different individuals with him, and he prayed that the Lord would lead them by the straight way or the right way. And the way that is protected, the way that is correct, the way that God wants us to go. And it's used in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 7, where Ezekiel sees the four heavenly creatures there, the four cherubim, and they're described as men, different descriptions there, and it says that they have straight or right feet. Literally, the word means straight, but it becomes a term to mean that which God wants for His people. And so what I want us to consider this morning is, what is this right way for us? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. What is that way? How does He want us to be led today as Christians? I want to consider a few characteristics this morning. First of all, it is a singular way. There's one way to go. When John the Baptist came preparing the way for the Lord, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3, Luke chapter 1 and verse 7, he came to prepare the way of the Lord. There is one right way, and that is Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 10. Today we're hearing about it doesn't matter how you get to heaven, it doesn't matter what you believe or who you follow, but we need to understand that the right way is singular in number. Not all churches lead to heaven, not all religions lead to heaven. It is through Jesus Christ. John the Baptist came to prepare the way for Jesus Christ and announce Him, not just any person, but Jesus Christ. There is one door. Jesus says in John chapter 10, I am the door. By me, if any man, verse 9, enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and go out and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not but that he might steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. There is one leader. There is one way. Of course, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, singular, not ways. We're hearing today about multiple ways. In our pluralistic world, it's all about multiple ways to be right with God. I am the way. I am the way. And we need to remember that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 16. We need to understand that there is one way to be right with God, and that is through obedience to Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 16, even Jesus' enemies sometimes recognized the truth when they said, Teacher, we know that Thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. There is the way of God in truth, not the ways. And it's by going back to the old paths. Do you remember in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 that we are to seek out the old paths? We're to go back and walk in that way, Jeremiah says. And that's our problem today in many of the Lord's church. We want new innovations. We want to progress beyond the Word of God. And we want to walk in our way. We'll talk about that later. We want to do our own thing. But there is a way, and it's the New Testament scripture for the church today. It's singular in number, and we need to go back and walk in that way. We're so used to choices. We're so used to choices when we go to the go to the cafeteria, when we go to the restaurant. We're used to a big old menu, and we think that religion is approached that way. It's not. It's singular in number. The right way is singular in number. He led them by the right way, and it's not always a pleasant way. It's not always a pleasant way. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. When we become a Christian and we obey the Lord, the church in the New Testament is described as the way. It's because they were following Jesus as the way. There are several descriptions of Christians in the New Testament. Sometimes they're called brethren. Sometimes they're called disciples. They're given different names. And they're also called the way. Christians are just called the way. What does that mean, the way? Well, they're following Jesus the way. And so they're called the way. And when the way is described in the book of Acts, sometimes they're being persecuted. In Acts chapter 9, for example, look at verse 1. Saul, before he becomes a Christian, he's breathing threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and asked of him letters to Damascus unto the synagogue, that if he may find any that were of the way. Notice verse 1, they're called the disciples, and notice in verse 2, they're called the way. That if he found men and women of the way, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. It's interesting that Saul once persecuted the way in Acts 9. Now in Acts 19, he is one of the way. He's one of the members of the way. He's a Christian here in Acts 19. And now he's being persecuted. The persecutor becomes the persecuted. But look at Acts 19 and verse 9 when Paul was preaching in Ephesus, when some were hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way. They were speaking evil of Christians. You know, brethren, the right way sometimes is not always the pleasant way. It's going to be a way of persecution. There are going to be people who say and do things that are against you. Jesus said that we're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, Matthew chapter 5, 10 through 12, in the Sermon on the Mount. And then look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. The false teachers there are described as speaking evil of the truth or the right way. When we stand for truth, whether it's at school or at work or out in the community, it's not going to be pleasant from time to time. There might be persecution, and we need to understand that. But we're going to be rewarded for that. Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven when you go through that persecution and you remain faithful. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, by whom, he says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. When you stand for truth and when you bring up Bible matters and you stand for truth and you bring up Bible verses, there are going to be people who speak evil of that. And so we need to understand that when God leads us by the right way, it may not always be pleasant. There's going to be some challenge along the way. But there's a great reward at the end of the journey. The right way is sometimes the lonely way. You think about the world today. The people that have the crowds, the people that have the big groups, those are the ones who are living sinful lives and doing whatever they want. But you try to stand for something, all of a sudden you find yourself in the minority. The right way is sometimes the lonely way. Because when we're standing for right and standing for truth and trying to live by godly principles, we're going to be in the minority. Turn with me to Acts chapter 24 and verse 14, when Paul, now as a Christian, finds himself before Felix and then Agrippa. He finds himself on trial. He's standing there by himself. He's trying to defend himself as a Christian. We find in Acts chapter 24 and verse 14, Paul says, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way, Christians, after the way, which they call a sect, so serve I the God of our fathers. And he's standing there by himself, and he's on trial for being a Christian and for acting the way that God wants him to act. And he said, I confess that this is the way I serve God. And he's there by himself in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Turn over there with me. There were times when Paul had to be by himself and everybody's running. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. You come on down to verse 16. At my first defense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. The right way sometimes can be lonely. It might just be me and my spouse and my family. Think about Noah. How many people got on that ark? 8 people. Out of all the multitude of the world, 8 people. It can be lonely. It can be lonely living right. It can be lonely acting right. And you may be in situations in your life where you're the only one literally in the room acting right. But that's the right way. And we need to remember to continue in that way. There are times in our life where other people are forsaking and they're leaving and they're going and doing their own thing, the sinful thing. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2 again. This is a chapter of apostasy and people teaching error and people living ungodly lives. And we've got to simply understand that we're going to be around that in the world. But we have to continue allowing God to lead us. We find concerning these false teachers, they are described in verse 15 as forsaking the right way. They went astray, having followed the way of Balaam. There's going to be people around us that forsake the right way. And some of them may be those who claim to be members of churches of Christ. We come on down to verse 21, describing Christians who apostatize and fall back. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment. They've turned back from that right way. They're no longer a part of that right way. And that hurts when it's family or when it's maybe close friends that we've known through the years in the Lord's church. We need to understand that the right way is sometimes the lonely way. And those around us don't want to get on board with truth. They don't want to be a part of the Lord's church. They don't want to live properly. It's just easier to go with the flow in society and live any way you want. Sometimes it's the lonely way. And Paul stood there by himself and said, look, I confess that this way that they call a sect, so serve I God. And I'm fine with that. And this is the way I'm going to serve God, and this is the way it's going to be. It's the truth. It's what God wants for my life, and I'm going to live that life. And we need to understand that when things get lonely and when things are not pleasant, it's still the right way. And that's the point. It's the right way. And we need to stay in it. We need to know up front it may not be pleasant. We need to know up front it's going to be lonely, but it's the right way. God will never take us in a way that is detrimental to us. God will never take us in a way that's against us. It's always going to be that straight and level way that leads to heaven. But we need to understand along the way it may be lonely. But stand for truth and live right and do right, and God will reward us. You know, the right way is sometimes very costly. But it's still the right way. We may have to forsake mother and father and son and daughter. Jesus said, if you love them more than you love me, then you're not worthy of me. We're not worthy of Jesus. If we're going to put family... Listen, nobody loves family more than I love family. You don't love your family more than I love my family. I love family just as much as you love family. And grandparents and mom and dad and all of that. But we have to love Jesus more than that. Otherwise, we're not worthy of Jesus. It would be nice if mom and dad and grandpa and grandma were all on the same page in following truth. But when that doesn't happen, then we have to pick Jesus. And Jesus said that we're going to have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. It's going to be costly. To obey the gospel scripturally and to stand for truth and to raise our families right and be a faithful Christian, it's costly. There has to be sacrifice. And I think that's one of our problems today in our world is we don't want to give up anything. We want to take it all with us. Everything that we had in our previous life, we just want to sort of bring all that baggage with it and just sort of carry it all with us. And whatever happened in the past, just kind of keep. But you got to give it up if it's wrong. I think some have the attitude, well, that stuff in the past, it might not be exactly the way God wants, but I'll keep it and I'll just kind of add some more. No, you got to cut it off. You got to sacrifice it. Get rid of it. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, we have to. The right way is costly. And that's why many don't want to be in it. They don't want to give up what they need to give up. The right way is not found in ourself. I think one of the biggest problems today is that I'm fine with God leading me and I want to go to heaven and all that kind of thing, but I want to have input. I want to be able to say such and such. And when I find out from God's word that I don't have a say in the matter, then that's when we kind of have a problem. Why are we finding unscriptural things in the Lord's church today? Why are we finding those types of things? Because at the end of the day, I just want a little piece of determining the way. And then we start giving our input. Jeremiah says, it is not in us to direct our steps. The right way is not found in what I think and I feel and I want. The psalmist, Psalm 119, God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our way. God's word. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. The right way has to come from God's word each time. I don't have input. I don't decide this or that. And that's one of the hardest things for mankind to recognize and deal with. Isaiah 55, verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Just underscore that and consider the magnitude of that. Your ways are not my ways. But Lord, you don't understand. I think this would be good in the church. I think that this would be helpful in the church. I think this is the best way to have a marriage. I think this is the best way to raise my kids. No! Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. And so we have to completely give it up to God, and that's one of the hardest things to do. The right way is not found in ourself at all. It's always found in God and His Word and what He wants for us. So, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We have to give up this idea that I get some input. I don't get any input. It's all God. And that was one of the problems that Israel had in the wilderness. Even Moses had a little problem with that. Remember when he was told to speak to the rock? Well, I just want to hit it, you know. Come on, let me have something here. Let me do my own thing at least. And then boom, he's told, that's the very reason why you can't go into the land of Canaan. God's ways are God's ways, and we have to be led by Him. We're seeing changes in the church. We're seeing changes in our society because we want to have input. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. And there's a way, and we're familiar with these Proverbs. Proverbs 14, 12, 16, 25. There's a way that seemeth right. You know, we have our reasons and why we think we ought to do such and such. But the end of those ways is death. The right way is not found in ourselves at all. And that's one of the biggest challenges that we face. We don't mind God having 95% if we can have 5% or something like that. If I can have some of what I want. But we've got to understand that the right way is completely in the way God wants. Do you know that the right way is a narrow way? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that broad is the way that leads to destruction. And narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And again, this is one reason why many people don't want to let God lead them, because it's narrow. It's narrow in our morality. We have to live a certain way. It's narrow in our conduct. We were talking this morning about the Proverbs and the use of the tongue. And those types of things. Well, control your tongue and control your temper. Things have to be controlled. Things have, you know, a certain way. What is that? Narrow. That's narrow. But today it's all about broadening. Broadening the base of fellowship. Broadening morality. Broadening who is accepted in a marriage. Broadening all of that. That's the way of the devil. But the right way is defined by God's Word. It's no more narrow than God's Word, neither is it any broader than God's Word, but it's God's Word. John said in 2 John 9 that we are not to go beyond the doctrine of Christ. That's it. That's the limits. That's the sidelines, as it were. Just like you have a court, a basketball court, you know, you have a football field, there are some sidelines, there are some limitations, lines, boundaries, that's it. It's interesting, we understand that in sports, but we don't understand that when it comes to God's Word. When it comes to this, it's just anything. The field is endless. You know, there are no boundaries. But Jesus says there are. The right way is a narrow way, and it's confined to God's Word. And we have to each day get up and bring our lives into conformity to God's Word. Along those lines, consider this next point. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18. The right way is also a very careful way in how we live and what we believe and what we teach. We have to be careful. I think we're losing some of that today, in maybe even among God's people. We're not careful with the text. We're not careful with our study. We're not careful with what God's Word teaches. We're not careful with learning all that God says before we draw a conclusion. We're not careful. And it's sort of like, I can get close. It's kind of like
You know, they used to say a long time ago when I was a kid, like horseshoes and hand grenades. Remember that statement they used to say? Get close. It's kind of like horseshoes and hand grenades, you know. You get a point if you get close on horseshoes. And if you throw a hand grenade, you'll hit something even if, you know, get close. Well, it's not like that. Look at Acts chapter 18 when Apollos, who was a great man in many ways, here's a preacher who had been preaching some things, but he wasn't quite accurate about the way of the Lord. And he had to be told more accurately the way of the Lord. We have to be careful. We can't just get close with the Word of God. Just get close in our doctrine. And so we find, look with me, Acts 18, verse 25. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he had a great attitude. He spake and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, knowing only the baptism of John. What he taught was good insofar as it went. But he had to be instructed more accurately or be given more information. Okay? And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more accurately. You can be close, but you might need to learn something to get accurate. When we talk about the right way, we need to be accurate with the Word of God. Every teacher that stands up needs to be accurate with the Word of God. Every teacher in every Bible classroom needs to be accurate with the Word of God. We need to learn and study and grow. It's not a matter of, well, I'll just get close. The right way is a very careful way. Otherwise, Priscilla and Aquila would have said, well, let the man go. Man, the guy's got a great attitude. He's off a little bit, but let him go. The text says that he was fervent in spirit, verse 25. Let's just go with his attitude. He's got a good attitude. Let the guy go. No. We need to bring him over here to the side and teach him a little bit more about some things. There's some things past the baptism of John that he needed to know. There's some new things since the baptism of John, Pentecost and other things that he needs to know about. And so let's expound unto him the way of God more accurately. What does that tell us about the right way? It's a very careful, accurate way. We need to have our Bibles open. We need to test everything. We need to examine everything. Do you know how error creeps into the Lord's church and other places? People aren't being real accurate with things. The preacher up front, he's not being real accurate. And then the people in the pew, they're not checking anything out, so stuff creeps in. If I'm missing something, I want you to take me aside and show me more accurately the way of God. I include myself with this matter of Apollos. We need to be careful in what we preach and teach and learn and study and know ourselves. Otherwise, we just kind of go off. The right way is knowable. We can know the way. Turn with me to Acts chapter 24. We looked at this earlier when Paul was on trial. And in verse 14, we read verse 14, when Paul is on trial before Felix, we find in verse 14, he says, I confess that I'm serving this way. But look at verse 22. But Felix, having more exact knowledge concerning the way, deferred them, saying, when Lysias comes and so forth. Felix knew what Paul was talking about. And Paul said on another occasion, these things have not been done in a corner. Chapter 26, when he's before Agrippa, look at Acts 26, 26. The king knows of these things, for I am persuaded that they have not been hidden, for they have not been done in a corner. The things that happened in the book of Acts, the conversions, the churches being established, that wasn't some secret hidden thing. How to become a Christian wasn't hidden. What you need to do to become a Christian wasn't hidden. The fact that you need to be a member of the Lord's church and not just a Jew, that wasn't hidden. From the day of Pentecost onward, it was wide open. You could know exactly what you needed to know about this new thing called Christianity. You could know about Jesus. You could know about what to do to obey Jesus. It was open, known. And that's why in a few verses later, Agrippa says, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. He knew what he needed to do. He was just almost. He just didn't act on it. It's knowable. It's not hidden.
And you can have, like Felix and like Agrippa, we can know what we need to do to be right with God. And we can read our Bible and open our Bible and know how to get to heaven and how to act each day as a Christian. And then last of all, it is a most rewarding way. We're talking about heaven, brethren. And any sacrifices that I have to make, no matter how lonely it might be from time to time, no matter how unpleasant it might be because of the persecution, no matter how costly, no matter how narrow, I am going to let God lead me by the right way because it is a most rewarding way. Talking about the blood of Jesus, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place. The holy place in the book of Hebrews, like the literal tabernacle, had a holy place. It's heaven itself where God is. And Jesus leads that way by His blood. He leads us so that we can go into that holy place and be in heaven. It's called a new and living way. Verse 20. It's most rewarding. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? So as we close, it's what makes it all worth it. All the trials and tribulations, all the sacrifices, all the commitments, all the narrow way living, being careful, walking that narrow way, not letting self come through. I keep self suppressed because God's ways are not my ways. I'm going to let God lead me. And here I am by myself from time to time and it's lonely. All of it makes it worth it while. Because the new and living way takes us into heaven itself. God wants to lead us by the right way. So when we read Psalm 107, verse 7, He led them forth by the right way. It's a beautiful statement. And He wants to do that today. Eric read Hebrews 4 and verse 9. There remains for us a Sabbath rest. Let us give diligence to enter into that rest. And do you remember Psalm 107, verse 7? They didn't have a city out there in the wilderness. They had to journey to a place where God could bring them in and they could have a city, the text says. They could have a city is a symbol of peace and prosperity and a place to stay. And in Psalm 107, when they get to where they're going, that they might go to a city of habitation. Hebrews 11:16, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. He looked for heaven. And so, will you be led by that right way? Will we let God truly lead us as we have sung in our song books? It's singular in number. There's just one way. And all of these things that we've said this morning, we just have to let God lead us. And we can have that beautiful heavenly city at the end. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. We have an opportunity this morning to let God do that if we will let Him take over our life and lead us. And it's a challenge from time to time as a Christian to continue letting God lead us, but it's most rewarding. And so the admonition for us this morning is to continue in that right way. Others around us may not. They may not be interested in that. Other religions may not be interested in that, but you keep letting God lead you by that right way, and you'll be rewarded in the end. If we can assist you, if we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing this song of encouragement?